I want to use some scripture this morning out of the New Testament, out of the book of John. And if I would have a thought that I would want you to remember, it would be this: greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I tell people every once in a while that probably most of us, if you really get down to it, can count on one hand. Maybe some of you are fortunate you use both hands to count who truly you can call a friend. Now, I'm not, you know, I'm friends with, I hope, with every one of you, but I'm talking about true friends who, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what's happening in your life, are going to be there for you. And I can assure you that there are many people who do not have one handful, and that's unfortunate. But what I want to talk about this morning for a little while is this friend who is above all friends, but he calls us his friend. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so no more can ye except ye abide in me. And I want to stop right there, because I say every once in a while, more and more do I try to get the message across to you as to how little we really do in the work of the Lord. And by that, I don't mean that we're not out here doing things. I mean, whenever it really comes down to it, it takes the Lord to be able to get the job done. It takes His Spirit to be able to do the effective work. You and I basically are just instruments that He uses or that He works through. And we have the wonderful opportunity as His children to be a part of the great work that He left to be done here in the world. As you've heard me quote many, many times, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And He never has. He has never left a single one of us. He has never forsaken us. What Jesus is saying to His disciples, and this is shortly before He's going to go and give His life upon the cross, whenever that He's going to go for His friends. And He said to them, you know, time and again, that He would not leave them nor forsake them. They didn't understand that any more than you and I do sometimes. But what He also said, you know, if you bear fruit, then it will continue to be fruit-bearing and will multiply and will increase. So we need to understand that as we work in the work of the Lord, that God desires to bless us and to increase us in our spirituality, and that we should continue to grow. Throughout our entire lives, we should continue to grow and not to we used to on a farm when I was a kid, we raised a lot of hogs. And I've always said, I guess if I was ever going to be a farmer, I'd want to be a hog farmer. And I know right now that's probably not a very good thing to be saying, is to say you want to be a hog farmer. I just saw that the Hickory County made the front page of the Springfield paper this morning over the operations that they're talking about, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about that I'm going to raise some hogs. That's what I would choose. But we always had in every litter, we always had a runt pig. And I don't care how much you fed that runt pig, it was always going to be a runt pig. You could always identify that thing all the way through its life. It was always smaller than all the rest of the litter. And you could always pick out the runt in it. And I think sometimes that you and I need to understand that spiritually speaking, there are some runts. There are some that just, and don't make any difference how much that you feed them, they're only going to get to about a certain point. And they can eat just as much as anybody else, but they're not going to grow anymore because they're just not going to go turn around and produce like they should. Now, God wants to bless us. He enjoys blessing each and every one of us as one of His children, and He wants us to grow. Paul wrote on one occasion to the people, one of the churches that he was writing to, and he said, I've not fed you with meat because you're not able to digest the meat yet. I've only fed you with milk because that's all that you can handle at this point in time. I know as I stand here this morning that most of you are in the meat stage. I don't have any people who are still in the milk stage, that you're still in infancy, because spiritually speaking, you have matured, and certainly that places a greater responsibility upon me to declare to you the word of the Lord so that you can continue to grow. But let me tell you something. It doesn't make any difference how much I try. I'm not going to be successful at it. What it takes is the Lord. It takes His Spirit moving into your heart, touching you, giving you the knowledge that you need as you study His word. As you go out here and as you work for Him, He will help you if you will allow Him to. Whenever you reach that point to where that you think you can do it by yourself, you've just stunned your growth, because you aren't going to grow anymore as long as you've got that attitude. I can assure you that. You always have to know that it's going to take the Lord. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. We sang a song, without Him I could do nothing, without Him I'd surely fail. Without Him I would be like a ship drifting without a sail. And that's exactly how our lives are. Without Him, we're not able to do anything. We may think we can. I recognize that we've got people today who say, all you've got to do is you've just got to go and you take this class, or you've got to get together and you've got to organize this meeting, you got to do whatever. But let me tell you something. There is no substitute for the Holy Spirit of God. There is no substitute for allowing Him to direct you and allow Him to guide you. And I can assure you that without Him, we'll not be able to get the job done. I want you to understand that. I'm a firm believer in it. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. Sometimes we have to ask the Lord. Jesus said in another place, Paul, I guess it was, writing, said, you receive not because you ask not. And then you receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. So we need to be careful as we're asking the Lord to give us knowledge, or to give us of His Spirit, or to give us of His strength, to be sure that we're doing it for the right purpose, and that we understand it's to be done to glorify and to magnify Him, not to glorify us. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Jesus said, this is the way my Father is glorified. He's talking about His Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. He says, here is the way that He's glorified, in that we bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Now, I always love this, and Leela's in here this morning, so I'm not able to pick on her this morning, but I always do whenever that we talk, whenever I come across the commandments, because Leela's one of those people who's always telling me, and she'll tell you the same thing, you know, the Ten Commandments are what are critical to her. And I always laugh and tell her, I don't need 10, I just need 2. 2 out of those is all that I need. And mine come out of the New Testament, not out of the Old. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul, with all the might. And the second is likewise, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's only 2 that you need. You don't need any more. You've heard me tell the little story about the little boy that was supposed to memorize the Lord's Prayer. And he learned, or not the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm. And he learned and got up and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And back, sit down. And the Sunday school teacher says, is that all there is to it? He said, that's all I need. Now think about that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's all we need. Yeah. You really think about it. Listen, all I need is two. All the rest of those, they're okay. But the Old Testament proved we couldn't live by them. We can't keep them. But I guarantee you this morning that it's possible for me to keep the two. It's possible. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Yeah. Now you got to do that to get saved. Once you're saved, God's going to provide all the love that continues to flow through your heart and your life. I guarantee you that according to His Word. And the second one is likewise, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now that's possible. It's tough. It's tough, I'll guarantee you that. And it don't only just mean the person that lives down the road from you. That's not the way the neighbor is described in the Word of the Lord. Yeah, you got to go back over again. It says, one of the men said, who is my neighbor? Yeah, now go back over and get that. I'm not going to take the time right now. Anyway, we need to be able. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You've heard me say many, many times that Jesus came the first time as a servant. He came with a very humble beginning. He was raised in a very quiet household, inconspicuous, so to speak. People just knew him as a carpenter's son. But I will guarantee you this one thing. And he came to do, he said, the will of his Father. He came to do his Father's will. But I'll guarantee you when he comes the next time, it's not going to be like it was the first time. The Bible says every knee shall see him. Every knee shall bow before him. Every eye shall behold him. He will come in the clouds of power and glory with great pomp and splendor. He's going to come and everyone's going to see him. Even those who are in the graves are going to come forth and will see him. I guarantee it's going to be a different. He'll come as a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. Going to come like it's never been even thought of before. But listen, he said, I came and have kept my Father's commandment and I abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If that's all you had, it was just that one. That's all we had to try to keep. It's enough. It's enough. It's not always easy. No. I often say, and I'm sure Diana will watch this and say, Dad, you should quit saying that. But I often think of what Shirley used to say to Diana. When Diana wasn't behaving just like that, Shirley was pleased about it, or maybe neither one of us were pleased with. And that does happen, and it did in our family. I don't know about yours. Some of you got perfect families. Some of you had perfect children. I mean, some of you never had any problems, never had any grief. All you can do is brag about them. Well, let me tell you. I can tell you that Shirley used to say, Diamela, I love you, but I don't like you. You understand what she's saying? Yeah, sometimes we love them, but we don't like them. We don't like what they're doing. There's sometimes I love you all, but I don't like you. You with me? Yeah, sometimes I'm just not very happy about some things. Maybe it's it. Everyone is going to say, I wonder if he's talking about me right now. Nah, I'm just, see, I've got you on the spot, haven't I? Mm-hmm. No, I'm serious as can be. I never picked out a single one of you. I looked at the whole crowd. Y'all know this. I watch my people all the time. I watch every one of you. Yeah, I may not just keep eye contact with you continually, but I'll guarantee you, I know what's going on here in this room just about any time. Just about any time, because I don't just zero in on Shirley back there and just preach to her. She may think so once in a while, but I don't. I can pick on her. But listen, Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Think about that. Greater love hath no man than a man that lays down his life for his friends. You know, sometimes when we read this or when we think about this, we think about person dying. That's what it means. No, not necessarily. Some of you have lived your lives for everyone else. You have. And that's good. Because you love people. You love others besides yourself. We're living in a very self-centered, selfish age when people only think about themselves. What's in it for them? What are they going to do? And it spills over into the church many times. People get the idea, well, what's in it for us? Sometimes it's not about what's in it for me, not what it's about for somebody else. It's for other people. And it isn't always that we're going to get a return. Not always going to see the results. We need to understand that. Sometimes I think we forget that. But anyway, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for sin. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, I want to finish this morning because when I read this and I thought about what Jesus was saying, and he said that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm going to go back over and read you something else, just real quickly if I can. Jesus, now he has been talking to the disciples, and he's given them the illustration of the good shepherd, the sheep, and he is the shepherd. And this is what he said. And he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, once again, remember, he said to his disciples as he was about to go away, you are my friends. You're my friend. Here he's saying, I lay down my life for the sheep. A good shepherd was willing to put his life on the line to protect his flock when he was out there herding the sheep, just naturally speaking. And he would do that to protect the sheep that he was responsible for. Now Jesus said this, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now a lot of Baptist churches can't seem to read that. Either they can't read or they can't understand it because they think they're the only one there is. Yeah, theirs is the only church that's going to make it to heaven. And then there are some that just think, well, Baptists are the only one going to be there. Let me tell you something this morning. There are going to be some shocked people when they get over on the other side and find there are people that are not Baptists there. That's going to surprise a lot of them. What may even be more surprising, there are a lot of people who are calling themselves Baptists that aren't going to be there. Now, you just keep that in mind, too. Yeah. It doesn't make a difference as to whether you've got the title of Baptist or not, as to whether you're going to be in heaven. Now, I'll say that again. It isn't going to make a bit of difference whether you've got that title of Baptist as to whether or not you get to heaven or not. That isn't what's going to count. Does it have some significance? Absolutely. That's taught in the Word of the Lord. And I'd be foolish to stand up here this morning and tell you otherwise. But that is not what determines whether the individual is going to be in heaven or not. I want to be sure we understand that. What is going to determine whether the individual in heaven or not is whether or not they've come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I probably burned it out just on that statement. Whether they've been to the Lord Jesus Christ and allowed Him to save their soul. That's going to be it right there. But now listen, Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Yeah. Now, let me tell you where, let me take you another trip here for just a second. Digress for just a little. Over in Paul's writings, he says in one place, and I believe it's through his writing of the church in Rome, he says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And a lot of my Baptist brethren get up and preach and say, well, that one faith is the Baptist faith. That's baloney. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the same faith that old John was preaching about whenever he said unto them, he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, I have Abraham unto my father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Goes ahead, talks about laying the roots of it. He's talking about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the faith that he's talking about there. It's not faith as a denomination. Thing, folks. Anyway, Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I'll bring them together, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And we get to heaven. There's so much about it that I don't understand anymore. The one thing I do know, it's going to be okay. It'll be okay. When I get to heaven, it's going to be fine. It's going to surpass anything that has ever entered my mind or my imagination. So I know it's going to be fine. Listen. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Listen. A man that lays down his life. Jesus said this. Therefore do I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. If you don't remember anything else I say this morning, you're going to remember some other things. I already know that, because I've made some statements here this morning that probably has kind of rankled some of you a little bit. At least that's the impression I get as I've watched you. But I'm not doing that deliberately. I love you. I truly do. You're my friend. And I want you to know that. But sometimes, people, we just gotta wake up and live in the real world. And sometimes we just like to pretend too much. Jesus said, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Yeah. Oh, man, that happened way before the world ever came into existence. Whenever that they had that conversation and Jesus said, I'll go. I'll be the supreme sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. And the Father said, you go and you do that. And I'll give you this one thing. Whenever you want to lay down your life, you can lay it down. You get to call that shot. Nobody else will. That's going to be yours to call. But when you have completed, and Jesus, whenever he finally hung there up on the cross, and just before he took his last breath, he said, it is finished. It is finished. He had finished everything he came here to do. And as he said that, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He said, I lay down my life. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down for each one of you. You are my friend.